WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The U.S. Supreme Court strikes down race-based admissions for the nation's colleges and universities. Harvard sophomore Karina Chung.
I've just met so many people from so many different backgrounds. It would just break my heart for people in the future to lose that.
This case overturns nearly 50 years of precedent, CBS's Major Garrett.
CBS News polling shows that 70% of Americans think race should not be allowed as a factor in college admissions. But statistics indicate that in states that have banned affirmative action, such as California and Michigan, admissions for Black and Latino students have fallen dramatically at their most selective universities.
Southern California is seeing a spike in mosquitoes after winter's heavy rains. KOVR-TV's Marley Ginter.
Officials say the use of drones, which won't deploy in residential neighborhoods, are more effective in hard-to-reach rural areas. So how does this new treatment work?
The mosquito larvae are filter feeders, so they feed on the bacteria. It enters their gut, and it's a growth regulator. So essentially, if you guys have seen the movie Alien, it blows their stomach up.
Officials trying to get ahead by being proactive in their efforts to combat a larger-than-expected mosquito population.
Extreme heat is making life uncomfortable for the animals and staff at the Kansas City Zoo. Executive Director Sean Putney is making sure everyone stays hydrated.
Usually you're talking about end of July or into August where you have these dog days of summer, but it is what it is, and we deal with it, and hopefully there aren't too many of them.
An electrical fire in a transformer that serves the Tiffany & Company store on New York's Fifth Avenue spewed thick gray smoke out from under the iconic building and caused two minor injuries. About 100 people in the building were evacuated as a precaution, and it came as New York is experiencing poor air quality due to Canadian wildfires. Christina Tenedos was in the area.
I saw the huge plumes of smoke, and my driver told me that he had heard an explosion and people running down the street screaming, asking for water.
Law enforcement officials say a man wanted for crimes related to the January 6th attack at the U.S. Capitol is now being charged with allegedly threatening to blow up former President Obama's home in Washington, D.C. CBS's Jeff Pagaz with more on 37-year-old Taylor Toronto.
Was he on their radar? Yes, he was. They were actively looking for him. According to our sources, he showed up here, and that's when they were able to put two and two together, match him to the profile of the person that they were looking for.
Three Florida men are charged with making $22 million through illegal insider trading before the public announcement that an acquisition firm was going to take former President Trump's media company public. The federal charges in New York do not implicate Trump or the Truth Social parent company. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes! That's awesome!
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Anybody running against Trump, if he calls them a nasty name, they should hit him back twice as hard. This is not the Marcus of Queensberry gentleman's rules anymore. In politics, certainly not in the Republican Party. Hit him hard.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Log on civicmedia.us.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. okay? The pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
This is a scam, and Tucker Carlson is one of the guys. He's one of the guys who said the election was stolen, Dominion voting machines are no good, on the air, but in the background, he's going, this is insane. This is a load of bull. The guy lies for a living. He lies with a straight face.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
Minnesota.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cook, Henry Cook,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
They do great work, and they've been supporting us for over 6 years, and we really appreciate them and give them a big shout-out to all the great work that they do. Hey, today we have Robert Lilligren, CEO of NACD and president, and also Kathy Vick, who's going to talk about housing program, and she's a housing program manager here on Turtle Island. But we got Robert on here right away, and we have a couple things. Well, we also have the governor of Wisconsin sending us a nice little piece, too, but I wanted to get with Robert right away and talk about a couple things. First, happy birthday, Robert, and second, happy anniversary to Wendy and I, and third, some sad news. Reservation Dogs is not going to be on and after this third season. Robert.
I heard just before we came on the air. So it is sad news, but they're going out on top, right? Which is yep. Kind of smart and strategic. And it had such a success. It penetrated into the mainstream. You know, was Native people steering our own narrative. And so nothing but congratulations and gratitude to them.
Absolutely. Hey, I wanted to have you on, Robert, while we listening to the governor and maybe just comment a little bit on things that are happening in our neighboring state. So without any further ado, why don't we listen to Governor Evers from Wisconsin's report to Native Roots Radio.
Hey there, folks. Governor Tony Evers here. The need for affordable housing is one of the issues I hear most about as I travel across our state. It's also an issue that connects the dots between some of the most pressing challenges facing our state today. Simply put, expanding access to safe, stable, and affordable housing is a key part of our work to support kids and families, bolster our state's workforce and economy, and ensure our communities continue to grow and thrive. It's also about connecting the dots. When Wisconsinites have access to affordable housing, we can make sure our kids can focus on their studies and not where they're going to sleep at night. We can make sure we can recruit and retain talented students and workers. We can make sure folks have a safe, reliable place to recover from substance use disorder, overcome mental health challenges, and re-enter our communities. That's why I was proud to sign a package of 5 bipartisan bills to address some of the many issues that we face when it comes to affordable housing, including supporting the development of more workforce housing and ensuring that the housing we have is safe, sanitary, and well-maintained. I look forward to more bipartisan opportunities to work together to address our state's long-standing housing needs and build the future we want for our kids, our workforce, and our state. Thank you.
Wow, thank you so much. That was Governor Evers giving us his update. And wow, there was a lot there, Robert, in that quick three-minute little piece. That's pretty amazing stuff. And it also makes me think of how well we're doing here in Minnesota, too.
Hear, hear. And congratulations to you and to your to Native Roots Radio for having these kinds of pieces.
Can you hear Robert Haley?
I do hear Robert, yes. I hear you both.
And I hear you. Oh, interesting.
Okay, cool. I hear you. Go ahead. I pushed the wrong button. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, I was just saying congratulations to you and to your show, to Native Roots Radio, for getting these pieces from people like Governor Evers. And, you know, it just really shows that you're generating some reach and people want to put their messages out on the show. And interestingly, I spent a chunk of my afternoon on the issues of affordable housing that the governor was discussing. And as you know, I serve in our regional government here. It's called the Metropolitan Council. I'm a representative there, the first Native representative ever in its 50-year history. And housing is a big part of what we do, and we put resources through our organization. And I chair that committee, the Community Development Committee. And right now, because of the trifecta we have at our state legislature with the House, the Senate, and the governor's office all being held by Democrats or DFLers, Democratic Farmer Labor Party members, they did a lot this year in working with advocates in the community, and especially on the area of housing. And we have a lot of incredible new resources coming into the state and to our region to support the creation of affordable housing. And so it's going to be a different day going forward.
Yeah, that's exciting. And, you know, we're just blessed here. We really, really are. And I want to remain humble on that, too. But also something that came up today, too, Robert, is the Supreme Court's ruling on affirmative action. What the heck is going on here, man?
Oh, yeah. So the Supreme Court put the stake in the heart of affirmative action in college admissions, and that condemned sort of race-based criteria or evaluation of applicants. And it's very frustrating, right? I mean, you have a status quo that controls the access, controls the criteria, and to think that those aren't race-based. You know, the status quo criteria and methods are based on supporting the people who are establishing those rules, right? And so many people feel that this will have a negative, and I feel the same, that it'll have a negative impact on the progress of BIPOC people for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, people have said affirmative action ruling is going to affect businesses and colleges that really can't afford to discriminate. So it's baffling. And but yet, you know, too, I think we talked a little bit about this, too, is that how pleasant of a surprise it was that ICWA passed. But then again, Supreme Court's dealing with sovereign nation as opposed to a race. And I think that might have played some kind of act with this last vote. Yeah, you're muted again, Robert.
Oh, how did that happen? I agree with you. And I think it's unusual things that are coming out of the Supreme Court, has been around race and around Native sovereignty as well. And with the ICWA uphold, you know, that was a huge win, right, for Native people. And then, of course, there's the Navajo water decision, which is in a blow. So it's kind of, it reminds me sometimes of those old movies or cartoons where you have the firefighters carrying the net, waiting for someone to jump into it. They're running back and forth, trying to figure out where the person's going to land. That's kind of how it feels right now during this Supreme Court session.
Well, you know, with all the kind of the scandals that are coming out, too, with all the money going to a couple of the Supreme Courts for big vacations and colleges for nephews, we really have to really overwhelmingly get Democrats in there and make sure that they're promising to enlarge that court. This is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And as these ethics issues get investigated and made public, one thing I wonder is how much of this has always gone on, because there's such a thick veil that around the Supreme Court, it's hard to pierce that, right? And so So now the veils are getting lifted a bit, and we're starting to see some of this, you know, really unethical, maybe illegal behavior. And I think it's incumbent on the court to regulate itself. But also, if we need our Congress to put rules in place, then it should. And I like the idea of a reliant court. It's grown and shrunk throughout the country's history. So I would support that.
Absolutely. Great. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and we are going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the DOJ there in Minneapolis and get his spin on it. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit MN350.org.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
When it comes to mental health, making connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Connections can bring comfort, hope, and joy. Find ways that work for yourself and others, like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, creating space to listen. Visit cmentalhealth.org. That's cmentalhealth.org. cmentalhealth.org.
You hear a lot about Rudy Luther Toyota's hybrid cars, but maybe you're asking yourself, are they worth it? Let me say from experience, absolutely. I have a Toyota Sienna hybrid, and the proof is in the gas tank. Before my hybrid, I was filling up my tank once a week. Now it's consistently every 2 weeks. I did the math, and my hybrid is saving me over $1,000 every year. And the Toyota hybrids are some of the most stylish and comfortable vehicles you'll ever drive. Now's the time to get a Toyota hybrid. Set up a time to test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Yes, it is. And we really appreciate the work that they do and the support they give everybody around and on Turtle Island here. And it's really exciting. I just want to touch one real quick thing here. One of our listeners says, does the Supreme Court really represent America? And that's a really good question, right, Robert?
I think that is exactly the question. And when the Dobbs decision came out, that struck down Roe versus Wade. And so you saw that Supreme Court decision. You saw where the support with the American people were for reproductive rights and access to abortion. And I remember saying and posting on social media at the time that this Supreme Court no longer dispenses justice for the majority of Americans. And my recommendation was two of them should resign so that this important third branch, co-equal branch of our government, can reset itself so it's actually representing the American people. So I agree with that listener. Or I guess I would say the answer to the listener's question is no, They do not represent
America. Exactly. So something interesting happened today over in Minneapolis. And then this report that just came out that I think a lot of us were not surprised on the report, but also we were surprised that it was a good report, I guess. Do you want to talk about good, that a little, Robert?
Yeah, good is kind of relative. I mean, it's hard to describe that report as good, but it can hopefully spark some positive change, right? And after George Floyd was murdered here, there was some deep investigations at all levels. The state did an investigation that found similar findings, but the federal Department of Justice did an investigation into Minneapolis policing and policing practices. And not surprising to anyone, or at least anyone from a BIPOC community, came up with some pretty damning and horrifying findings about the race-based inequities, the race-based policing, the racist policing practices that go on here.
Yeah, and it's amazing, too. I guess what I was trying to say is that we weren't surprised that this came out, but we were surprised that it did come out.
Right. And, you know, it's so funny, people in BIPOC communities are kind of like shrugging their shoulders and like, yeah, what? This isn't news to any of us. And even for me, back when I served on the Minneapolis City Council, we had a 2003 DOJ investigation after a particularly egregious act of misconduct and race-based conduct from the Minneapolis. So it's on the exact same thing, the exact same findings, you know, and now the next thing will be under decree. You know, there'll be a judicially enforced decree that Minneapolis has to govern under until that decree is satisfied. And that was the same thing that happened back 20 years ago. You know, so here we are. So hopefully we've learned things since that time and we can put solutions in place that can actually improve the quality of policing here.
How does that happen, Robert? So do we show up to these meetings and voice our opinion? How do we keep this ball rolling as opposed to just to having it as a report and going, oh, everyone's shaking their head, and then we go on and nothing changes?
Right. So there'll be some formal pieces around this. There'll be some mechanism of community engagement, some kind of community advisory body. Just like there was 20 years ago, I think this time again we're smarter about this. We're more experienced, and more sophisticated about how we put those things in place. And it's essentially an agreement that's negotiated between Minneapolis government and the Department of Justice. Then it's sort of transferred to the courts to monitor it, to regulate it, to enforce it. But we can stay engaged in a number of ways. Today was a great example. The DOJ came out into the Native community at Dakota Institute at the American Indian OIC and held a community listening session. And it just ended at 3:30 and I haven't had time to talk to anyone that was there, but I'm really interested in hearing. At NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, where I work, we use some of our organizing reach to get people there, but the invite to it was really pinging around the community. So I'm hoping it was a good showing and that people spoke their piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I want to switch gears a little bit and kind of reintroduce you, Robert, because, you know, we have new listeners all the time. We're on a new time right now. And your background is the first, put it out there, sure. the right
yeah,
way.
So I served on the Minneapolis City Council from 2001 to 2014. I was the first tribal citizen ever to serve on that body in its 150-year history. And I served as vice president of that body for 12 years. And at the time, and our government's kind of reforming right now, we had a strong council system, a lot of authority, and I was able to create a lot of access for Native people who really mm-hmm. hadn't had access into government before. And we did some pretty cool things. With working together with the community. And so I left the Minneapolis City Council in 2014, and now for the last maybe 4 years, I have been serving a little over 4 years on our regional government, the Metropolitan Council, again, the first tribal citizen ever to serve on that body in its 50-year history. And so that's issues of environment, parks, housing, transit, wastewater management, And that's an appointment from our state's governor, Governor Waltz and Lieutenant Governor Flanagan.
That's awesome. And again, those are two things out of the many things that you've done and are doing right now. I think we talked a little bit a while back about, I think you're on like seven boards right. boards, and but there's things that are really important to hear and everyone to hear that it's a good thing that we have our first, but it's also hopefully not our last, and you're breaking, I guess, glass ceilings, right?
You know, that's a grand way of looking at it, but I think with all the Native elected officials I know or former elected officials, and with me, the huge priority is making sure that we're bringing other people along, right? And that we're not just serving ourselves or, you know, elbowing our own way at the table, but then there's always people that we're bringing along with us and that are coming up behind us. And, you know, one of my favorite sayings when I talk about access in government, I say access is the currency of government. And so access is the currency of government. So the people that have that access find their needs met by their government, and the reverse is true. If you don't have that access, your needs aren't going to be met. And so it's always trying to figure out, how do we get more Native voices in the policy arena, either in elected office or even just contributing to the decisions that policymakers are making.
Well, and I know you and I have talked about this. We are at that age now, and I hate to say that, but you know, you have a birthday and I'm right behind you, that we are looking to forge and help the future, because we know we're not going to be doing this and we're not going to be here forever. And so that's a tricky thing too, because, you know, you look around and you try to be a good mentor, and that's part of your gig over there too, is mentoring politicians. And so it's a thing that we are always keeping our eye on the prize when it comes to the next generation.
Right. And how to do that. It's mentoring. And I think one of the important things is, and I think maybe this gets a little, maybe not neglected, but it's maybe not people's first priority, but it's making space, right?
Yeah.
Making space for these younger emerging leaders. And maybe that means stepping aside. Maybe that means, you know, encouraging and creating opportunities for other people to speak, other people to be in front of the room, other people to be visible and have and increase their profile and their reach. And so sometimes that means, you know, you got to step aside. And yeah. That's at this age, you know, it's something I kind of enjoy doing, because like, oh, I need to rest. One thing, but also it's, I need to, you know, I can use the access or the reach or the profile I have to create opportunities.
And that's so important, and not only what you do, but just to where we as Native people come from, because we always talk about the next seven generations, and mm-hmm. and things have changed, and we always used to joke about this since we were in high school, you know, which is not that long ago for me, but it may be a long way for Kelly.
We're both the same age, Robert.
Well, in my mind. I meant in my mind, it was a long time ago, but it doesn't seem that long to me, but it is a long time ago. But also, you know, the people that really knocked down some doors for us too, and we're thinking about this next seven generations too, and that's where we've learned it.
I agree. And how do we hand this off then to the next generations, with them being as strong and solid as I know they can be? They're way stronger and smarter, more aware of their Native identities than we ever were at their age. Yep. So I think that's just a huge, huge opportunity. This whole generational shift that's going on within Native communities. I think it's all very exciting. And one of the things I noticed now, you know, I've been working in the government realm, the policy realm for what, 25 years or something, close to it. You know, now I'm not the only one that brings up Native issues or Native perspective, but many of my non-Native colleagues will be the first ones in lifting up, you know, the impacts on Native communities or the importance of a Native perspective here. And to me, that just makes my heart sing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And we should talk about that next time. But thank you so much for stopping in, and thanks for helping me critique Governor Evers and talk in a good way. We really appreciate you and what you do for the community, and we'll see you next week.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup at 1215, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court strikes down affirmative action in college admissions. This Harvard alumna was on campus today.
The makeup of Harvard's classes can be so many legacy admits, and now we're disenfranchising people who absolutely deserve the chance to get into the school and replacing those spots with people who absolutely do not, but are the children of rich people.
Haze from the Canadian wildfire stretches from the Midwest to the East Coast. Washington, D.C. had the worst air quality in the world today. This tourist telling CBS's Scott McFarlane.
It's like way foggier than it would be on a normal day.
But you still wanted to make the trip today.
Yes, because we want to see the monuments because this is our last full day here.
With poor air quality in New York City, firefighters had to evacuate some people and fight an electrical fire that sent smoke billowing from under the iconic Tiffany store. This woman was in the area.
I'm hoping everyone's okay. I'm hoping everyone's safe. I'm hoping that there was nothing serious.
Two people suffered minor injuries. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
It's time you checked out Champions Pub on Milwaukee's East Side, a classic Milwaukee tavern since 1956. Champions is a comfortable place to gather and enjoy a drink over a game of shuffleboard, cribbage, bags, golden tea, or just relax in its sunny beer garden or covered deck. Champions Pub has something for everyone. It's a great place to escape the usual bar crowds and hide out for drinks and conversation. Stop by Champions Pub and enjoy its good service and low-key neighborhood atmosphere.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high-quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee public schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. The most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. And you've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shying to me with, I don't know how I'd rule. I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4. On the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's
perfect news for any occasion. Check out the list of Eat Local Minnesota restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they do. Hey, we are really happy to have Kathy Vick on, and welcome to Native Roots Radio. And I'm really excited to hear what you do and what your the information that you're going to bring us. Why don't you introduce yourself in a good way?
Bonjour, Kathy Vick, Indigenous. I am the housing advocacy manager at Little Earth Residents Association, and so honored to be here to share the good work that we're doing. My latest tagline is, we're buying our land back one house at a time. Right two on. Down and $2 billion to go.
Right on. Good words. Hey, let our people know, because we're all over the country here, and we're on civic media, which is all over Wisconsin, and we're in Illinois. Let people know basically where Little Earth is and talk about the community a little bit, and we'll get into what you're doing.
Great. Well, you know, I started here a little over a year ago, but we kicked off our program in late December, and it was really to assist in preventing homelessness and how could we affect our community and keep people housed. So I pitched a simple plan to Joe Bolio, the executive director here. And basically what it was is to allow me to do the new resident home orientation, and so that I could help teach the link between being a successful renter and what that correlates to or link to good credit and building credit. And HUD put out an announcement last fall that said they were going to start using 2 years of successful renting, meaning paying your rent on time, that they would use that when they were qualifying people for first-time home buying programs in their approval process. So that's really what we've been working on. The second part of it, to prevent the homelessness, so I do the new resident orientations and do a real detailed first meeting with them and really go through the pitfalls that can happen in being a renter, but how do we become a successful renter and how that impacts our future. So the second part was, I am a certified home buying education training and technical assistance provider and HUD approved, and wow, have been doing this for over 13 years.
Wow. Wow.
That I got through the National Indian Housing Council, which I am still contracted through to do home buying education training nationally, training trainers and also participants within Native communities all over the country, and have had that honor.
That's amazing. So what trends have you seen change in the last 13 years? Because years ago in a different life, prior to the 2008 collapse, I was a home appraiser too, a part-time home appraiser. And I know it was like the wild, wild west then, because of, you'd cut your grass and your house would go up $10,000. Yes. It was insane.
Yeah, and that's what we've been seeing I think it was about a year and a half ago. Well, even a year ago, interest rates were real low still. Mm-hmm. And so after that housing crash in 2008 and 2009, that big impact, of course, the housing market was skyrocketing. And so then the Fed said, well, let's lower interest rates, so then more people can afford to buy homes. Well, with the low interest rates and then the short of affordable housing, housing prices started going up. And so the trends we were seeing, which were, it was similar to what was happening in 2007, 2006, 2008, you know, being at home appraiser, it was just you sneeze and your house was going up, up, up. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the Fed started raising the interest rates so that people would have to lower the home price in order to sell their home. So I'm seeing that level out a little bit.
Yeah. Do you still see a lot of people buying what used to be known as starter homes, big companies where then they turn them into rentals, and then the price is going up because there's hardly any starter homes. That was a big thing, I know, a year ago. Where are we at with that?
We are still in that. When you're talking a single family home or even, you know, multi-units, we are in that market where it is investors. And so what happens is if you can find an affordable home, investors have more money to outbid you. So they'll pay more than what the house is worth. And so it's really hard on our first time home buyers. And so I am seeing that. So I have lots of prayers out for our community because I do believe in the Creator knowing and having control of all. And so I do have prayer in this and hope for that. But I did see something that Canada, I believe, put in a policy that you could not buy a single family home if you were an investor. Mm-hmm. You had to allow, if you were not going to reside in that property, so that it would allow for their citizens to be able to buy homes. And I think that is something that we need to look into here because it is really difficult. Now, I have had about 8 people that have successfully applied for home loans, since February. And 2 of them are now home buyers. They bought a home and got an offer accepted, and they're closing in July. So we broke the ice.
Yes.
And I'm just so grateful. I have one other actively looking. She's, you know, looking for that right house. And so we have the intention and the prayers out there that she's going to find it. But it is a challenging market. Mm-hmm. And just recognizing that, just don't give up. Just keep looking.
It's ebbs and flows. You know, I remember not that long ago, too, in my neighborhood here, we were getting McMansions. We get a nice, decent-sized house, 200, 250 at the time, 1,000, where it would be a starter. And next thing you know, it's an $800,000 house because somebody tore down a starter house and put a McMansion here. And I see probably because the interest rate and the amount of what houses are worth now, we don't see that as much. But that was crazy. And also, government did jump in and put a kibosh to how big the houses could be here, at least in St. Paul.
Yeah. And so it's an interesting thing because when I bought my first home, it was in 2000, probably 2001, and it was 105,000. Now we had challenged credit. So I have, you know, lived experience with fixing credit. My husband had more challenging credit than I did. So I knew I needed to, I took it down. I'm a big picture person. So I knew I had to be on my job for 2 years. I knew I needed to make enough money to qualify for this home. So I did all the necessary things, fixed my credit with the help of a lender. Today's market is so different in the sense that with home buying education, and there's all kinds of programs that you can go take a course, whether it's Home Stretch or there's lots of good information out there. How our program differs is I'll go through the entire process with you. So I'll do a credit evaluation to the, let's see what's on there. Many of the people that I've worked with, they're already there. They're ready and they're qualified. I really felt like at Little Earth, we just needed to shake the tree, so to speak. There were people that are qualified to buy homes. Now it's just finding that affordable home. So that is the biggest challenge.
Well, I know, too, if you can pay rent and have a steady job, you should be able to buy one of the most, the biggest equity I have in my lifetime is our house. And it then is. That's generational wealth. That's all these things that, you know, with your help, we can get our people and educated in that.
Absolutely. I started with one little house and for $105,000. Now, that was in 2001. We had that big market thing going on. So I doubled my money in 5 years. We sold it for $210,000.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also bought in that market too. So we bought the high end, we sold at the high end, but we've also now been able, through that first purchase, we own a little church in Wisconsin. We bought just a little teeny church for like a snowmobile cabin kind of thing. Then my husband bought a little shop, but it really started with that first home. And we only have one mortgage left, and that's on the present home, the second home that we own. But we own the church free and clear now. And so that is generational wealth.
Yes.
And we did start at the same interest rates that are today.
Yeah.
You know, when we bought our first house, it was 6-7%. Yeah. So it's not unheard of. And it's really just looking at it in a different way and helping and guiding people to that dream, and one person at a time. And that's what we're doing. And we're really, really gaining success.
That's awesome. And I think education is right. I mean, I remember, I'm old enough to remember when the interest rate was 20%. And, you know, and I remember, too, when anything below 10% was a deal. So people have been a little spoiled with this 3% interest, which is really free money if you look at it compared to any other upswing or downswing of the economy. It's amazing. But, you know, when you're educating people on that, that's powerful.
Yeah. And the election year's coming up. Maybe they're going to do something for us there. Maybe the president will lower some interest rates, you know, with that, you know, in 2024. So it's really looking at that big picture, and it may take 2 years. It may take 3 years, but being there for the long haul. And that's what I've been doing with the folks here. I'm committed. My mother is the Betty White of Indian home buying. She lives on White Earth, and she is amazing and made some historical firsts in our country. Her name's Donna Fairbanks.
Let's talk a little bit about her. Why don't we come back after this short break, and we'll talk a little more. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're with Kathy Vick, who's the manager of the housing at Little Earth here in Minneapolis. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line light rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I love that one.
That one, that always cracks me up. And also Dallas Goldtooth is a bumper here, always cracks me up. I don't know. I've heard it over 1,000 times and still cracks me up.
I always have to make sure my mic's off because you're going to hear me laughing.
Right on. Exactly. Hey, we're here with Kathy Vick, and we're talking about housing and what's happening in Little Earth and how we still can be in the game of housing here as Native people, and talking to Kathy and experts like her to really weave your way through this really convoluted way of getting a house and a mortgage and a loan and all those things. But Kathy, appreciate you being on and kind of talking us through this. And it's really interesting because there's an old saying that they're not making more land out there. So that it's a good investment too for anybody. And it sounds like you and your husband have invested, and it's a good way to show other people how to do that.
It sure is. As I mentioned before, this is something that I never dreamed that I would get to do. And I got my real estate license in 2010. And my mother, Donna Fairbanks, worked for the state of Minnesota as the first Indian housing coordinator and worked for MHFA. And she came up and she designed and developed the first Indian housing education home buying program. Wow. In the country, in the nation's history. So she had a lot of firsts. But in 2010, she invited me to come to be certified as a Pathways Home Buyer Education Trainer. Pathways Home through the National Indian Housing Council. And I found my heart when I went through that to become a trainer and train the trainer. So I kind of just turned it into, instead of being a realtor, I went into the training aspect like my mother. Mm-hmm. And not trying to fill her footsteps, because she had over 40 years since 76 working in Indian housing. And she's, you know, in her 80s now. And but her heart was always in it. And I can see why. It's such a personal, wonderful thing to own mm-hmm. your own home.
Absolutely. Before we let you go, is there anything like what you'd like to say, or is there any websites people can come to and or reach out to you and your group? Let our people know that are listening.
Yes. The great news is anyone who contacts me, any person who contacts me, of course, I specialize in Indian housing. So, but you contact me, whether you're in the community or whether you're in Little Earth, we offer our services to everyone. Mm-hmm. And so I am happy to work with anyone, and they just contact Little Earth Housing Residents Association and ask for Kathy, and or contact me, Kathy Vick or kathy.vick@learth.org. Our mission doesn't just stand for just our residents. We want to help the Native community in a whole. And so I'm just honored to be here, and thank you for letting me share.
Right on. And we're happy, too, to have you on. And it was great meeting you at one of the parades. I can't remember which one. It was the Indian Day Parade. Yes. Yes, for Indian Month. Absolutely. Well, Kathy, let's have you on again. And really, this was some super information that everyone out there should listen to. They're not making more land, and if there's a will, there's a way, and there's people out there to help you, and especially our Native people with Kathy Vick, Little Earth, housing and program to help you. So it's exciting, and thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Chimiguich.
Wow, right on. Wow, that's awesome, Haley. It's a thing that it's a real thing, and I'm glad that we were able to talk a little bit about that, because people should be looking into buying houses. And I know it's confusing as heck, and if you don't have a good realtor or don't have a good banker, and you're not asking for help, it's a hard road to toe.
Yeah, I think, well, I'm Gen Z, so I have never owned my own house, but growing up, you know, I always knew that it was a bit easier back in the day to get your first house and be a first-time home buyer. But yeah, for as long as I can remember, that hasn't been an easy option. I think looking forward to, you know, now being in my 20s, it is hard and it's scary. And yeah, there's not really a lot out there. And with the market the way it is right now, it makes it really tough.
Yeah. So. And I think you hit it on the head on the nose, or the nail on the head, because I was going to say the head on the nose, but that's a different show. that these prices, and is the market going up? Is it going down? You know, are you going to be, house poor because you get qualified for a certain amount, but yet, you know, you qualify for it, but you might not be able to eat because you can't afford any food because you're paying for your house payment.
Yeah.
So all those things that need to be really taken into account for. And it's just been crazy because of these people buying mid-range houses and raising the market up. Unbelievable. It's the government, you know, I like to keep the government out of my business, but there's something there that they should be helping with, because that's ridiculous. We have foreign companies buying up starter homes and renting them out and making them unaffordable because of supply and demand.
Right. And I wonder what that's going to do to, like, the vacation rental homes business, like Airbnb and Vrbo, and that's going to change things for them.
Yeah. So something has to change, especially, you know, I don't think Gen Zs are, and I might be wrong, not into buying homes and having full-time jobs. I just think it's unreachable right now for most Gen Zs. And
I wouldn't say it's not a want thing for us. It seems unattainable at this moment in time. So,
yeah, that's crazy.
But it's great that we have resources like Kathy and people out there who are helping first-time homebuyers. It's really important.
Right, and that's a really good point. And I could feel her excitement too, because you feel good when you help people, and this is something that people really need help with. And it's a thing. It really is a thing, you know.
Yeah, because we want people in houses. You know, we want them in a safe environment. Everything starts at home, just for everything.
Well, and that's a good point, and we're wrapping up the show here right now. But I just want to say to that point, renters do not take care as well sometimes of their as somebody else's house as they would their own. And so there's also that too, because you don't want a whole bunch of renters where the landlords are in another country or another state not taking care of their property and not overseeing their property. So there's a lot to talk about when it comes to housing, and we need housing for our native people. We need housing for everyone, and affordable housing is the key. Hey, I want to thank Robert Lilligren. I want to thank Governor Evers for dropping us that segment. And wow, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Welcome to the Main Street Cafe. You are in Bloomer, a few miles north of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. A small town, 3,000 people, but there are big things happening at the cafe.
Every year, on the average of about 150,000 pies.
150,000 pies and more than 65 varieties made, sold, and enjoyed here. But can you guess which is the most popular pie choice in Wisconsin? Apple, cherry, or pumpkin? The answer coming up.
Most of it's made by hand. The taste, the flavor. We use real Wisconsin dairy products.
Real dairy products, including free ice cream on your pie and free refills of milk. It's something cafe owner Donnie Stoic likes to brag about.
Our horn I like too. We do that every day, not just during June.
As we wrap up our celebration of June Dairy Month, did you guess? Cherry pie is the Wisconsin favorite, according to Instacart. Now we want to know yours and who makes it. Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.